5 p.m. and it feels like springtime for real.
Finally.
Thanks for tuning in to American Net Radio. I'm so glad to have you here with us. We'll be here for the next hour with you to play some music, do some talking about some albums, as we always do. Me, as you know, I'm your host, Tom Ryan, my lovely wife, co-host, Heidi Morales, with us as well.
Still running around.
Right. We'll spend the next hour with you. Now, I know that there's not a lot of people out there who have got scorecards for what I'm doing with my show. I really understand that.
Well, it's all in writing on the website anyway.
It's all, right. Everything is there, all the numbers to put it all together to make sense of what album belongs in what category and the numerical order that I arrange them in and stuff. It matters a lot to me because it keeps me organized in what I'm trying to do. And
don't make me start telling tales.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, the average listener, you know, you, the listener, may not know me that well in terms of like figuring out what my own obsessions are. But I would say that organization and precision is certainly one of them. And that's why with this album series that we're doing, I am watching very closely about the album number that I assigned to it, what chart it goes on. A real quick explanation for those of you who might care, and I realize it's a very small percentage of the audience. We have two things that we're doing simultaneously, the top 500 of the top 40. That's 500 albums that did make the top 40 that we love. That's the first 500. Then there's another list of 500 albums, which we call the alternate top 40. 500 albums that never made Billboard's top 40 that we also love. And that is what we are actually trying to write a book about as we do these shows, these albums.
Do I get writing credits for this?
Well, yeah. There's a lot to it. I mean, you're certainly supportive like, throughout the whole procedure. There's no doubt. But I mean, that's just it. I mean, we got 500 essays that we have to write about the albums that didn't make the top 40 because that's the gist of the book. The 500 that did, well, they're there to basically make a point. These are the popular albums that you remember and the good ones. And there's all these other albums dispersed throughout the same time period that weren't as popular, but perhaps are just as good, maybe better. And we've been doing this in chronological order, starting in 1964. And working our way up toward the present. Right now, we just crossed like 100 albums in the top 500 of the top 40 category when I realized that I had an oversight. This is the part that nobody really cares about, but I realized that there was an album that came out in February 1970 that I should have included and did not. And I said, oh, that's okay, one album, I can skip it. But things like that eat at me. Tear me up. It just killed me, you know?
You're a head case.
I can't just move on and not put that album in. If anybody ever says to me before I'm dead, how come you didn't put that album in your book? I just have to shake my head and say, you know, I was just too lazy, or I didn't want to go back and change the numbers or something. Just really for something as dumb as that, I could have just skipped it. So I said, I've got to do it. So recently on the website, we moved all of the numbers up by one, going back to February of 1970, so that we could make room to squeeze this album in, because it certainly belongs on a list of the top 500 of the top 40 albums. Came out in February 1970, as I said, reached number four. The artist is The Doors, and the name of the album is Morrison Hotel. Now, how I skipped this, it's hard to say, except I can only say this much. I remember, you know, I was a big Doors fan in the 60s and the early 70s. I had the first album. I had Waiting for the Sun, and I had their last album, L.A. Woman. I actually bought that when it was contemporary, when it was new. It was one of the first 10 albums I ever bought from my permanent collection. Morrison Hotel was not one of the ones that I owned, and I tended to not think of it as being as good as, say, the first album and their last album. I considered those two to be their best records, the very first and their very last, meaning L.A. Woman, which would have been their sixth, I believe. And Morrison Hotel was great, but I also thought it was spotty. There were parts of it that I thought were like, maybe not that great. But historically, First of all, I changed my mind. This is a great album. Second of all, historically, the album really does stand for something because in a lot of ways, it's a comeback album for the band. Like for example, before the release of Morrison Hotel, a lot of serious Doors fans were probably starting to worry that the band was growing soft. Their previous album even took the title The Soft Parade, and it featured pop arrangements with horn sections and strings and actually, you know, unfocused lyrics that were sort of light on the bluesy edge that drove the band's best material. I mean, at the same time in the news, the Lizard King, Jim Morrison, of course, was more outrageous than ever, allegedly exposing himself during a drunken performance in Florida. But the music on that album almost seemed to apologize for Morrison's rudeness. Now, that perception changed instantly with the release of Morrison Hotel. Throwing off the tepid impression of that disc, meaning The Soft Parade, the band roared back to life with enough attitude to eclipse every other Southern California band combined. The Doors were plainly out of their minds, and their audience loved them for it. Here, the band is back in top form, kicking in the teeth of the establishment denizens who were trying to destroy their mojo. And they didn't even need a hit single to do it. Their last album was full of hit singles. You know, Touch Me, I remember, for example, one was the big hit from that album. But again, it was like mostly horns and such. And it didn't really resonate with their regular fan base. You know, Morrison was busy with his poetry. Robbie Krieger had to write more songs because basically Morrison's notebooks were empty. The band was on tour because their previous album, Waiting for the Sun, had become an international hit. So they were touring Europe, they were touring America, playing more than they'd ever played before. And mostly because of that, they weren't able to get as much writing done. So they ended up going into the studio and not working together very plainly. And it was suggested that maybe what they should do is try something experimental. Now, at the time, what's happening? The Beatles' White Album, Jimi Hendrix, Electric Ladyland, all sorts of wild things. Albums that we've covered, of course, in our Top 500 of the Top 40 series. Great albums were happening. And the Doors decided that maybe their way of doing something incredible and experimental would be to bring in strings and a horn section. They're thinking it was going to make the band more jazzy, and it really just softened the band up. It made them look like they were directionless almost. This is where things changed, and you could tell it the way the album started. The second you heard the first 5 seconds of the Morrison Hotel album, you knew that the band was back in form. Here's the opening track from Morrison Hotel. I think you know it. It's called Roadhouse Blues on 90.3 WHPC.
I'm vows. Give up your vows.
It's an insane rocker. That got more airplay than maybe any other Doors song in like early 1970. It was like kind of stunning how strong that song was. And Morrison is in top form. It seems as though the band is like a bit more united, frankly. I mean, after the weirdness of the previous record, Soft Parade. And I don't want to make it sound like that album was terrible, but man, critics were rude to it. I'll say that.
That's mean.
I mean, they were rude to it because everybody has expectations. You know, what do you expect from the Doors? I mean, after their previous, you know, albums, there was this real inclination to expect stuff, you know, expect the albums to be incredible. But as it is, like, this is like a typical reaction. Robert Christgau, no one even thinks about the Doors anymore. Such is fame, but this is an acceptable record with predictable pretensions and a couple of first-rate songs. Nothing to get excited about either way. So that's like, you know, the Doors are anything but lukewarm. So if the album gets people to think in terms of like being lukewarm, then they had a problem. This is the album that fixed that perception really quick. I mean, all of a sudden now, the interviewers are saying things completely different. Just trying to feel like I find out. There was like one comment that
you mean
was...
the critics are saying something?
Yes, what did I say?
Interviewers?
Oh, I meant critics. Dave Marsh in Cream Magazine called it, quote, called this album, Morrison Hotel, the most horrifying rock and roll I have ever heard. When they're good, they're simply unbeatable.
Ouch.
I know this is the best record I've listened to so far. So he meant horrifying in a good way. Like, bad good. Man, that album bad. So when you first read it, you call the record horrifying, but he means, you know, in that way, that's exactly what the Doors kind of wanted to be. A bit horrifying, scaring their audience, keeping them on edge. This album worked for the image of the Lizard King. Here's the next track up. It's actually unusual because it's a song that whose title comes from a previous album. The band put out an album called Waiting for the Sun,
right.
And but there was no song on that album by that title. So
it's so funny.
It pops up here. Waiting for the Sun on 90.3 WHPC from the album Morrison Hotel, which we're playing in its entirety today.
Standing there on freedom.
sun, waiting for the sun, waiting for the sun, waiting.
Find it easy to understand how this album became the best-selling album in the UK for The Doors, reached number 12 in the United Kingdom, which was a big deal because the album before it was their worst-selling album in the UK. So it was a significant comeback on a international level. And the album plays to the band's strengths. It's sounds like The Doors playing. It doesn't sound like they need all this other support and a lot of other things to cut to get their songs to cut. It's obviously between Roadhouse Blues and Waiting for the Sun, this album comes off incredibly strong. Now, there was only one single released from the album, and it didn't do well at all. It just kind of proof that at this point in time, the one thing the band, well, another thing that the band got right was they weren't worrying about pop charts anymore. On the last album, it just seemed like with Wild Child and Touch Me that they were heading in that direction. So here, basically turning it around a little bit and saying, we don't really need it. They released one song as the A side of the single. It's this next track called You Make Me Real, and it only reached number 50 on the pop charts, which is kind of unusual because the B side was Roadhouse Blues. And obviously, most people flipped it over and played that track. But that was an FM song, if ever there was an FM song. It's like basically virtually hard rock, Roadhouse Blues. You Make Me Real sounds like the type of single that maybe would have gone up to number 50. It's not what the band was. I would say that the whole top 40 thing was not really playing to the band's strengths at this point. Here is that track, though, called You Make Me Real, the third on side one of the album Morrison Hotel, 90.3. WHPC.
Really need you, baby. God knows I do. Dead blood in the streets, it's up to my ankles. I found my own true love was on a blue Sunday. She looked at me and told me I was the only one in the world. Now I have found my girl. My girl awaits for me in tender time. My girl is mine. My girl awaits for me in tender time. My girl is mine. She is the world. She is my girl.
Figured I'd give you three in a row there because I knew that the second song, Peace Frog, was going to blend into the last song there called Blue Sunday. In order, what you heard was, well, the first track up was You Make Me Real. That is an old Morrison composition. That goes all the way back to before the first album. That song was written before the first album was released, dating from 1966. Interesting that it would have been the song chosen for the single for this album in early 1970, release date. After that is Peace Frog, another Morrison, obsessed with blood on that song, and using one of his interesting spoken word pieces about Indians scattered on dawn's highway bleeding. Basically, that's him recounting a memory that he had as a child of being in a car driving through the desert with, I'm pretty sure it must have been with his parents, and they came across a car accident that had Native Americans scattered all about. Basically, the car was totally wrecked, and he was, you know, a child, and he's seeing this at night, and it left a really deep, permanent impression. He used that exact same spoken word piece on his spoken word album called An American Prayer. I believe that was released after he passed. In fact, I'm certain it was. In fact, it was released a few years after he passed, as I recall it. That album came out in 76 or 77, so he was already gone for about maybe 6 or 7 years by the time that record came out. But it heavily used that poem that's used on Peace Frog there. And then we ended the set with Blue Sunday. Let's see, what else? The previous album, again, to contrast that to this, the previous album just basically put a little bit of like friction in the band because of Morrison not wanting to have much to do with the other songwriters, you know, words, and yet he wasn't writing them himself. So credits were being divvied up between band members and deliberately excluding certain people. And on this album, it seems to be a bit more equitable, where a lot of the songs are basically either Morrison Krieger, which is a good thing to see because that's where a lot of the friction was earlier. Well, I would say more than half of the songs on this album seem to be credited to Morrison and Krieger, including this next track, which ends side A of the album. It's called Ship of Fools on 90.3 WHPC.
The human race was dying out. No one left to scream and shout. Evil walked
But come on, people, bid and climb on board. But come on, baby, not going home. Ship of blue, ship of blue. Was dying out. No one left to scream and shout. Eva walking on the moon. Smoke gonna get you pretty soon. Ship of fools, ship of
Ship of Fools closing out side one of the album Morrison Hotel, playing the entire album from top to bottom here for the over the course of this hour. It's one of the three best albums released by the Doors, and that's exactly why we are covering it today. One of the more iconic things about the album, of course, the music is the most important ingredient, but I've got to say a lot of credit ought to be given to the artwork used on the album, particularly in relation to the front cover and the back cover. For example, side A of the album is called Hard Rock Cafe. Side B of the album is called Morrison Hotel. It's like the two different sides. Now, if you look at the cover of the album is the band posing underneath a sign of an actual hotel called the Morrison Hotel. It turns out they didn't have any permission to take the shot. They didn't ask. They didn't tell anybody they were going to. They just, they were with the photographer, Henry Diltz, who is responsible for just about every human being who ever had his picture taken if you're a musician in Southern California. Henry Diltz is probably the guy with the camera. So he was with the band and they walked into the hotel and they just, well, the clerk was not at the desk. They just ran to the window, grabbed their spots, and Diltz stood outside and took the shot. The band just stood there and boom, instant album cover. So there's the four members of the band staring, standing underneath the Morrison Hotel window with Morrison himself, you know, right in the back of a sign that says rooms 250 and up. But what's also interesting, and it goes less recognized, is the back cover is a shot of a bar that was down the street called the Hard Rock Cafe. Just a little hole-in-the-wall bar with mostly middle-aged men wandering about outside, maybe going in to, you know, catch a beer or whatever. Or, you know, old tap is what it says in the window, whatever that is. It was just like an old bar. What's really obviously, you know, the influence that this had is now there's a chain where there is a Hard Rock Cafe in every major city of the United States. Everywhere. I mean, and the whole chain used the name based upon the fact that it is the back cover of this Doors album. This is exactly the inspiration for the Hard Rock Cafe chain. So there you go. Morrison Hotel and Hard Rock Cafe. Okay, let's flip it and play side two. The music does not let up. It gets more interesting, in fact, as we move along. The opening track here, one of my favorites by the band, it's called Land Ho on 90.3 WHPC.
Grandma loved a sailor who sailed a frozen sea. Grandpa was that whaler
got three ships and 60 men. A course for ports unread. I'll stand at mast, let north winds blow, till half of us are dead. Land ho!
As great as this album is, what it doesn't really convey is just how dark of a person Jim Morrison could be. I did mention that they had a lot of problems with the fact that because he had allegedly exposed himself on stage in Florida, they had a huge number of dates that were canceled. And he was the band was suffering in a big way because after that incident happened, they lost literally over $1 million in booked gigs. And soon after that, Morrison was on a plane flying to see the Rolling Stones, and he got arrested for causing trouble on the plane. There was like some sort of a hijacking rule or something that he managed to break, and he was arrested for that. He could have been put away for 10 years. He obviously had an issue with drinking, and his longtime girlfriend, Pamela Corson, knew it. But she had a weird way of helping him. Like, he wrote these next two songs directly at her, allegedly. That's what it is. The first song is called The Spy, which was originally called Spy in the House of Love, based on the Nias Nin novel. And a track after that is called Queen of the Highway, also allegedly written by Morrison for Pamela Corson. There's a story that, like, when they were in the studio, he was so, like, drunk all the time. He was so, like difficult to deal with and drinking so much that it was difficult to communicate with him. So while he was working, she grabbed his bottle of whiskey and drank it. Not didn't pour it down the sink. She drank it instead, which enraged him, sent him, like, over the top. And he's shaking her, and it looked like they were going to have a physical altercation. And everybody ends up breaking down in tears, and it's a big mess. And eventually the producers just say, look, it's really getting late. And Morrison was like, yeah, right. Let's go. And that was the end of it. But it was like, he was like just not a very controllable person. And his relationship with Pamela Corson probably didn't make things that any easier. Here are those two tracks, though, that are allegedly written for her, starting with the song called The Spy, followed by Queen of the Highway on 90.3 WHPC.
I'm a spy. Beautiful people, in the world. Son of a frontier Indian swirl, dancing to the midnight whirlpool. Formless, hope it can continue a little while longer. Come on.
All right. Queen of the Highway with The Spy before that. Got two songs left to play on the album. I'll play them back to back to end the show. Just before I do that, I want to let you know, stay tuned for the next hour following this. Zach Turkell is going to be up with his celebratory list of anniversary top 40. And the year that he picked is this year for today's show is 1965. And it's stunning. I went over it. It's some of my favorite songs of all time. So it's going to be a great show. So stay tuned between 6 and 7 and hang out with Zach Turkell. And we'll end our hour right now with the last two songs off of the album, Morrison Hotel. Indian Summer is up first, followed by the classic Maggie McGill. Take care, everybody. I hope you enjoyed the album. I hope you don't mind me stepping back in time a little bit. I don't think you really cared very much that I did that, honestly. So we're fine, but we'll be right back on track next week one way or the other. See you then. Bye-bye.
I love you the best, better than all the rest. I love you the better than all the rest that I meet in the summer the red.